You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
Good morning. Our scripture reading will be in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, so thankful to be here this morning, Lord. Thankful for this beautiful day you've given us and the season of the year. And Lord, just for life itself, we're thankful for that. Pray now, Father, as we do break open your word, that you'll take the things of Christ and make them very real to us. We just find and pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be the teacher this morning, as we are a needy people to meet each need, and starting here. For we ask these graces in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. We had an interesting day yesterday. My family, through family tradition, that's one reason the Proverbs 22 says, remove not the ancient landmark. And I thought so many things as far as that goes. But family history, my grandfather lived in southeastern Missouri, over by east of Poplar Bluff. Anyway, my granddad was lived over there. My dad was born south of around Gillam, Arkansas, and when he was age four, his mother, natural mother, passed away in childbirth. You know, in those days, childbirth was, as you know, just a time of a challenging time. You know, a lot of people didn't survive, a lot of children and mothers. And so my dad lost his mother at age four, and he had an older brother, and there's two of them there. And that's in southern, southwestern Arkansas, down by DeQueen, Gillam. And anyway, my grandfather, after about a year or so, he married the local school teacher. And he took her as his wife. And we learned in Sunday school this morning, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and it sure makes a difference, the kind of wife a man has is so important. From there, and my dad tells a story, he remembers when they moved from pretty poor and worldly standards, when they moved from Arkansas to Missouri, there was no windshield on this vehicle because they had somehow, I think it had rolled or something and broken the windshield, so they camped out as they moved from Arkansas to Missouri. And I don't remember ever asking the question if my grandmother was with them or not during that move, but my dad recalls, and from a four-year-old's eyes, that move to southeastern Missouri that he had. Anyway, my father's stepmother and my father's father proceeded to have eight children, four boys and four girls. So a pretty good sized family. So interesting, the granddad was Southern Baptist, grandma was Church of Christ. Granddad would take grandma to church, she never drove, drop her off church and go to church. And the organ was upstairs at the house. Two story home, it was upstairs. But I remember, it's from my youth growing up, my granddad's favorite verse, or I guess favorite, it hung on the wall there, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Out of Philippians there. Yeah, so important. It's so interesting that in their home, never had a TV set. They listened to the news, got it over the radio, very well read. Never had a TV set at home, just didn't care for it. Like I say, from worldly standards, very poor there. Of course, right through the Depression, my dad has told me that when he and his brother growing up and during the Depression there, you know, he actually hunted for meat. I mean, to feed. I mean, not that they were starving or anything, but when he hunted in those woods in Missouri, what they killed, they ate. And at one time he said, you know, I had like three or four shells up on the hearth or whatever there was there, and each shell meant some food. I don't know if you all experienced some of that or not, but fantastic. I often said my dad was born in the wrong century. You know, he was more of a 19th century person, individual. Anyway, I share these things because yesterday was the Wewoka Sorghum Festival. And my family inherited has cooked the sorghum molasses for the Wewoka Festival for 8 or 10 years. And I was, as yesterday, there was, Scott was down and I was down and we had Nick and Cody were down and my dad, so there's four generations there working with the sorghum. And I was thinking about that, you know, the process. People would come up say, well, what is this? You know, never been on the farm or something. There's an article in the paper about the Wewoka Sorghum Festival. And see, a lot of people came for the first time, saw the article in the paper, came down, didn't know anything about sorghum molasses. They came down, said, what is this? And, you know, get down there, said, where's the start? You know, they didn't have the foggiest idea. You know, what it is, the sorghum cane, you grow the cane, you squash, if you will, put this cane through rollers, and it brings, you know, juice as a result of that. And you save the juice, and you put it in barrels. And these barrels hold the juice until you have this long pan, and you put the molasses, the juice in one end, and a hot fire underneath it, and as it works its way down this maze, comes out sorghum molasses. But the process, it's something that my family, my granddad, when they moved to Missouri in those early years, that they started with sorghum and raising the cane, and they had sorghum every year. So it's a family tradition. So my father had about 5 brothers and sisters that showed up down at Wewoka helping with the sorghum yesterday. And, you know, you teach young ones and as they come up. It's so interesting. And I'm thinking about all this and this verse about remove not the ancient landmark. And I'm sure as you think back in your families, it's not that it has to be sorghum or anything, but, you know, the family traditions, things that strengthen families are so important, aren't they? And think back to my childhood as far as, you know, the teachers that have paid the price. And I think back of 12 years through high school, and I'm sure you can do the same. You know, some teachers really touched your life, probably, I would think. I know that I had a few that really touched my life. And then there's one or two that they weren't worth. I mean, they got paid for doing that, and even as a child, I knew that this person should not be here, you know, because it was a waste. I'm thinking, what a gift it is. And when you look at the in the Word, and I've been talking to a friend of mine lately that is very interested in coming along in the Word. I'm thinking, you know, the same thing applies, just like this, and doing the sorghum, that it had to be taught. I mean, I didn't have a clue how to do that until I attended some of these sorghum deals. That, you know, you teach, and then you teach the next generation. That's what they did there. The verse that's on the front here, the 2 Timothy 2:15, you know, that verse doesn't just apply to Derek and Champ. You know, our teachers. That's meant to be a very personal thing. And of course, Dr. Mack taught it that way. He encouraged those of us that were blessed to know him to get into the book ourselves on whatever, you know, whatever degree that you're led, just to get in the book ourselves. So, and that is so true. If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Incidentally, my granddad lived to be about 96 years old. There's a person down at the sorghum festival yesterday. He was a city guy. Happened to be a black guy. Came up and said, what is this? I said, well, you know, you eat this sorghum, man, it's 10 years to your life. it was a hoot. Must have to my granddad's, though, because my grandmother could make biscuits. Chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. As witnessed by my wife, my grandmother made biscuits every morning for my granddad. Did not use recipe, just like this, and took her about 2 minutes, biscuits every morning from scratch. Just like this. And the sorghum and the biscuits. Incredible. Incredible woman. Start at chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That have their senses exercised, otherwise they have the discernment of good and evil. Well, what sparked some of my interest in this was the recently in different papers around that we have, I think James Dobson's group, Focus on the Family, as you may have read, was sponsoring a little deal over here at First Church of the Nazarene, and I commend them on their little, you know, sponsoring it. That it's stirring up a group of homosexuals. You know, they don't like that. I don't think if you're reading the articles on that or not, but I thought it was very interesting that that people would actually believe that things this old were still believed, such as homosexuality is a sin, the Bible, and such as that. I don't know if you've read any of those articles or not. It was very interesting to read that. And it takes us back to nowadays. Not everyone has a God consciousness. You know, in the home in which I was raised, and just think about yourself, the Word of God was probably accepted as being important. Yeah, really. It's important. And even though maybe it wasn't held up to the point or maybe it could have been, you know, for spiritual guidance and leadership and all that, it has a relevance and a respect. That respect is no longer there with all individuals. And it is so obvious. And yet, so we live in a culture, if you will, of individuals that do respect the word, truth, believe that there are some absolutes, and then you talk, and then we have the others that we come in contact with or in dialogue with or whatever. They don't have a clue. They think we're out of the dark ages by bringing up something, you know, the Word of God, the Bible, or something like that. Don't have a clue. So, you know, it shows the battle of our culture, doesn't it? So here we are. We have to be prepared to do battle in that realm, if you will, you know, whenever it comes up. The another issue, of course, is the abortion issue, and I am so thankful, you know, praise God that they finally got the partial birth abortion outlawed. I'm having some dialogue with some individuals on that. There was some radical groups were actually witnessing partial birth abortion and cheering when it was going on. I heard that. Do what? Oh, I know they'll contest it, but anyway, can you imagine? You know, just incredible. So that's the culture in which we are in. But there's, you know, something to always remember, and I'll turn to it out of 3 John. You know, there's always going to be the battle. And 3 John 3:11, just the one verse there. 3 John chapter 3, verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You know, that's very basic, isn't it? These folks don't have a clue. They do not have a clue. Many of them masquerade under preacher this or reverend this, don't have a clue. But if we just always follow that, you know, that is so important. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a thing to remember that it says not to be surprised. 2 Timothy 3, 1-10, many verses would be very familiar, I'm sure. But was this thou knowest, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, and proud, and blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors and heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, otherwise maybe going under the title of reverend or whatever, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For example, the group that demonstrated over on Northwest 39, they had a follow-up meeting at a church after that. Of course, it happened to be the First Unitarian Church, but still it's a church, and so that is what? A form of godliness. It really is, you know, to have respectability. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That very basic thing, you know, God is good. Those that are for him will come under fire. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And there's that word that's been shown to us so often, but they shall proceed no farther. There will be a time be cut off. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, or teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. And that Paul, of course, the writer here, Timothy, persecutions, afflictions, and such as that. And he did suffer, didn't he, for those. So it says, remove not the ancient landmark. Judge Roy Moore put an ancient landmark in place, didn't he? What'd they do? Carted it off. There's a battle going on, isn't there? You think he knows what the score is? I guarantee he knows what the score is. Yeah. The Ten Commandments monument. Remove not the ancient landmark. Why must they tear down these things? Why do they have to do it? Because just like there are another thing, why has such a minority been so successful in accomplishing what they want to accomplish? Yeah, that's a good quote, because good men do nothing. Yeah, all the evil may triumph, this good men do nothing. Yeah, we as the Christian community has stood by and been not salt and light in many, many areas, right? So we're called to be salt and light. We better be about that. In changing the culture, though, those things, the battle will rage and continues to rage. It just amounts to how much of it we want to have part of on an individual basis. And I'm reminded of our nation, its fight for freedom, that from an earthly perspective, when George Washington was at Valley Forge with an army that had, a lot of them went back home, wouldn't call them deserters as such, went back home for the winter there and had to care for their loved ones, this and that. When he was there in Valley Forge, the human chances of him surviving that winter and becoming victorious over the British Empire, which is the strongest empire in the world, were not much, were they? from humanly speaking, maybe one in a million. And people ask me to, you know, talk about today are kind of negative a lot of times because they see the culture going down the tubes as far as that. Hey, from a human perspective, there might not be a lot of hope in that. But when you put God in the equation, there's all kinds of hope. Because his sovereign hand watches over all. See? And he uses individuals. And so what appears to the human eye is not what really, you know, is around us, as we know. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And this keeps coming back to mind, to my mind anyway, about what we're called to do. You know, chapter 6 and verse 10 there says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." That we are, of course, to, as familiar verses, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then it classifies, of course, the victory. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." But it's so important that we realize that we're to stand. Just stand. It doesn't say you have to do all these tremendous things. You just stand. "Against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done all, to stand." And then, of course, we have listed here the different points of armor. "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, but above all, taking the shield of faith, whereas you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation." That's what the fifth piece of armor there. "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So you have the five defensive pieces of armor. Then you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the prayer is also offensive. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." So if Christians in this day and time would, in love, open their mouths boldly when we have the opportunity to do so, because there's all kinds of opportunity in this day and time to open our mouths boldly and using wisdom and using love when you open our mouths. Because there's some others out there that are very bold, aren't they? I mean, it's so bold it's in your face. And that's one reason why such a minority has been able to accomplish so much. Of course, there's other reasons, but dedication and knowing what they want to do with it. A lot of time on their hands, too. Basically, it boils down to us as individuals, though. You know, how much of this, how much of the Word, what do we want? Are we coming to the Word on a daily basis? Hey, it's time for us to keep score. Let's keep score of how often we're in the book and how often we're in front of the TV set. It's a little personal, doesn't it? Well, think about it. That's true. Hey, we're geared to entertainment, and that's our culture, and it affects us. It affects each one of us. But how much of it do we want? How much? How bright a light are we going to be to our families, to our loved ones around us? We claim that, you know, we really want it. I love the sign, "You prepare for your finals," that Mac had installed. It is so true. We're not going to take other things with us But with the Scripture, you know, this will last throughout eternity, and our knowledge of this and our Word, it really will. You know, it goes on forever, 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 doesn't it? Our knowledge of the Word of God. So, boy, as we can get more of that as we want it, that's the thing that we need to do. What it amounts to is where your heart is really where your time and effort's going to be. Now, really, if we take a true assessment, where our hearts are is where our time and effort's going to be. Isn't that true? I was really blessed this last week, or yesterday. Remember, I've been having an email with A.J. Pillai. Now, how many of you met Paul when he was here? A good many of us, right? Paul Pillai here. Last time he visited was, what, about 10, 12 years? Maybe 15. Anyway, of course, A.J. is one of the boys coming along, has a wife and I think a child in Virginia now. Anyway, I told A.J. that he said he would like to visit, so I basically emailed him back, said, buy your plane ticket, you know, and we will reimburse you for that. So I get an email back from A.J. He says, you don't need to do that. He said, we have been praying for you for many years. He obviously had talked to his dad. So he said, we have been praying for you all for many years. He said, God will provide on that, like he always has. He said, I just consider it a privilege to come see you, basically. He'll be here in January. And so I'll put that out. I thought we'd try to, if you have some contacts with maybe some like-minded churches as far as evangelical, I think it'd be nice if we maybe got AJ in front of a few different groups, you know, just to kind of spread the word there. But I was really blessed by that. The Spirit, remember how humble Paul, his dad, is when he visited. Never forget, I took him out to a truck stop and he had ordered some gravy. He looked at me and said, what's that? I'd never seen gravy before. It's a curious dish there. Gravy on biscuits. It's fantastic. And we got the newsletter too, and I know several of you get a letter from Paul, but as we hold them up, we'll have a good visit and we'll pray for good weather. Was January, so he'll be here about a week's time period in January, and we'll have him here for Sunday morning service, and we'll have some other contacts for him to speak at. I have him, he has a chapel service at Christian Heritage. I have him out there already on target out there, but so if you have someone that might, we could put him in front of, you know, different groups for a time period, that'd be a blessing to reach out and do that. Anyway, I want to close that in the fact that, you know, it says, remove not the ancient landmark. And the opposite side of that, of course, we have a verse. Remember the verse that by your traditions you make the word of God none effect. That's the opposite side of coin, a little bit different context. And it was talking about spiritual traditions that were not observed by the heart as we're supposed to worship in spirit and truth. It was talking about spiritual rote things that were just done, not pleasing to God. So that's the balance of that coin. But remove not the ancient landmark, I thought was a wonderful thing. And I'm going to go ahead and close. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, this morning that we can worship here and in spirit and truth. And Father, we just do pray that You take these words, and if there's any error here, Lord, that you'd wipe it the slate clean there. But these words, Lord, that glorify you, that build us up, glorify you, that we might walk a closer walk with you. We just really desire that. For we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.